officers and fire investigators quickly realized that there was a room in the house that appeared to have locks on it from the exterior portion of the house. They began to speak to the male victim, who disclosed that he was being held captive in the house for an extended period of time, approximately 20 years.
You are hearing from the Waterbury Police Chief, and this was earlier this month during a press conference with many news outlets talking about the story that seems to be on the minds of many for understandable reasons. A man who was allegedly held captive for more than 20 years in his own home in Waterbury. And the woman who many are pointing the finger at, including the victim in this case, is his stepmother, Kimberly Sullivan. And joining us now on the show is the attorney representing Kimberly Sullivan, and that is attorney Yanis Kolaitis. And Yanis, I want to thank you for joining the show and speaking with us about this case. I want to first start off with the very latest details that have come from police. Talk about the conditions of the home and the conditions of your client's stepson. What does she say? What was her reaction to these claims against her?
Well, good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me this morning. So with respect to these allegations, as I had said initially right after the arraignment, she was shocked to hear the allegations. She denies the allegations. She was literally blown away when I told her what she is being accused of.
I'm curious because there have been some people who have come forward at, you know, claiming that they are relatives to the victim in this case. And they have said that other children lived in the home. Now, I have not heard that confirmed by police, but do you know, Attorney Kolaitis, if your client had other children that she was raising? I've heard two daughters. Were there other kids living in the home?
None other than the other two. There were three total.
Three total. Okay. So she has two other daughters and then this stepson.
Correct.
Okay. So have we heard at all, has your client, you know, at all connected you with her other children to confirm or deny any of these claims coming from the victim?
So I can't get into specifics regarding specific facts or the investigation that we're doing. What I can tell you is that we are doing our own investigation into this. We are talking to potential witnesses. We are talking to people that have information regarding this, and we are gathering and we are preparing our defense. The specifics as to what anyone is saying, I really can't get into.
Okay. Attorney Kolaitis, what does your client say, or how does she explain the physical trauma of the victim, a man who was, you know, in his 30s, is in his 30s, I should say, pretty tall stature, but around 68 pounds, I believe, is what the report had said. How do you explain that?
So actually, it's not on us to explain that. It's actually on the state to explain that. So in our system, the defendant has the right to remain silent. Everyone wants to hear what Kimberly Sullivan has to say, but the reality is, in our system, no one may ever hear one word from her, and that's perfectly okay. She doesn't have to explain anything. In our system, she does not carry the burden. The state has brought these charges. The state has made the allegations. It's going to be on the state to prove these allegations. So the question is really for the state, how do they prove that his condition is the result of what they claim? It's not, the burden's not on us. And I know publicly the burden has been shifted to us. Publicly, she's been convicted. She's been damned, and everyone associated with her has been. But I push back on that because that's not how our system works. It's going to be on the state to prove that all these things that they're claiming are true. So respectfully, we are not looking to explain that. It's not our burden, and we're not taking that burden on.
I mean, I appreciate you clarifying that, Attorney Kolaitis, but I guess I'm confused. So if a parent is accused of abusing a child, usually whenever I hear about cases like that, they do have to explain themselves. Why in this case does she not have to explain that? She was in charge of his life, correct? I mean, he was living in her home.
Incorrect. His biological father is the one who made the decisions regarding how he would be raised. Additionally, he has not been a minor for a long time. He's 32, 31 years old. So that's more than a decade that he's been an adult, that she's not responsible for his care. So I push back on the premise that she has to explain everything. Our system is very clear. The state of Connecticut carries the burden. This is an adult male. This is not a child. If we were talking about a 12-year-old, maybe that'd be different. But that's not the case here.
But if he was, with all due respect, Attorney Kalaitis, if he was being held captive, doesn't that fall on the responsibility of the homeowner? And the biological father, my understanding, died a year ago.
Well, so your premise of your question is that he was held captive. That, back that up. The state still has to prove that. That's not a proven, that's not a given, it's not anything we're accepting. So, no, I push back on that. I don't know that he was held captive, and I actually dispute that he was. The information I have is that he was not.
Okay. And again, that's the news that I've been given by police.
And I understand that, but, you know, the problem we have is everyone's already accepted that as true.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has already convicted my client. Everyone is, you know, they're ready to hang her on the town green. And unfortunately, that's not how things work. And we need to protect her rights. She needs to get a fair trial. She needs to be given the presumption of innocence. And the state needs to be held to their burden. That should be our focus here, not convicting this woman before we even have a trial. So the questions and the burden are on the state, not the defense.
Okay. And again, we have Attorney Kalaitis here, who is representing Kimberly Sullivan in this case out of Waterbury. Attorney Kalaitis, and I'm sure that this is maybe the same answer I will get, but I'm going to ask anyways. Police mentioned the condition of the home. They kept bringing up the condition of the home. You know, they certainly brought up the victim, but they also brought up just the multiple locks on the outside of the door and the dimensions of the room that the man was living in. What does your client say about just the conditions of the home?
There were no restraints placed on him within the home. He was free to come and go. That I can tell you. As far as the condition of the home, I've seen the home. It was post-fire. I can't get into the details, but there was evidence inside the home that is supportive of our case. I cannot get into the specifics. One of our concerns is, given the pretrial publicity, is her ability to get a fair trial. There's been a lot of information that's been put out there. There's a lot of rumors going around on social media, and we're really concerned that that is going to taint the jury pool, and we're going to have a hard time finding people that can keep an open mind. So that's why we are encouraging people not to rush to judgment and to afford her the presumption of innocence that everyone accused of a crime is entitled to, regardless of how horrible the allegations may be. We need to give Kimberly Sullivan, afford her constitutional rights and respect her right to a fair trial and respect her rights in this case. Because if we look the other way for her, we're going to look the other way for everyone else. It's a very, very important that she get a fair trial. And that is our focus.
And one follow-up question. We have Attorney Yanis Kalaitis here, who is representing Kimberly Sullivan in the Waterbury case. To your point, Attorney Kalaitis, whether people want to hear me say this or not, I agree with you in the sense that there is a lot more, I don't want to say rumor, because I do believe what police are saying. Those are facts, right? I mean, police, what they're saying is what they found, their investigation. This is what they've revealed. And police are pretty buttoned up a lot of the time with news outlets. And the fact that they shared that pretty immediately, to me shows urgency, shows that somebody dropped the ball here. It may not have been your client, but somebody dropped the ball here with this man. But to your point, you know, you have people coming out of the woodwork. You have a lot of people claiming to be family members of this victim. You have former classmates. I mean, you're right. It has become a storm, if you will, and all the fingers are being pointed at your client. So how do you make sure she has a jury that's not, dare I say, already going in with a decision in their minds?
So that's going to be extremely difficult. What we are trying to do to push back on that is, as I've been talking today, reminding people about the presumption of innocence, reminding people that the burden rests on the state of Connecticut, and reminding people that these rights apply to everyone accused of a crime. Today it's Kimberly Sullivan. Tomorrow it might be your neighbor or your family member. It might be a different crime, but the rights apply equally, and that's what's important. What I can say about trying to select a fair jury, the jury selection process in Connecticut, we have what's called individual voir dire. So we get to speak to each juror individually, one-on-one. And it's going to be a very long process where we're talking to jurors, and it's going to be a process where we're going to have to find people that can put aside anything they've seen or heard and not formed any opinions. And that is going to be hard because there are a lot of opinions. You know, videos, one TikTok video on this case has garnered over 1 million views. One comment talking about how horrible my client is received over 8,000 likes. Same thing with us as defense counsel. So there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of hostility.
I mean, understandably so.
Understandably, yes and no. I mean, she remains innocent. This has not been proven in court. We don't hang people just because someone's made an allegation. I understand it's horrific, but there is more to this story that will come out at trial. And the people that have rushed to judgment, I think, are making a mistake.
Okay.
I mean, well, they're entitled to their opinions. And,
right.
And you know, and we have a lot of anger and hate and comments online, and that's fine. But what really matters is the jurors that we select for this trial, that they keep a fair and open mind, and then she get a fair trial, because there's a lot more to come out. And just because the police have made claims, those are allegations. Facts are what's proven at trial. So we got a long road from allegations to facts.
Attorney Yanis Kalaitis, I want to thank you for giving us the time, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thank you for having me. You have a great day.
You too.